Now you come to dishonor by non-payment. A promissory note, bill of exchange, or a check is said to be dishonored by non-payment when the maker of the note, acceptor of the bill, or drawee of the check makes default in payment upon being duly required to pay the same. जिस दिन पैसा देना था उस दिन उसने नहीं दिया पैसा तो फिर वो पेमेंट नहीं हुआ. सो व्हेन द पेमेंट इज नॉट मेड इट इज अ डिफॉल्ट. सो इट इज नोन एज डिसऑनर, डिसऑनर बाय नॉन पेमेंट. द प्रोमिसरी नोट मेकर, बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज, द एक्सेप्टर इन द केस ऑफ अ चेक, द ड्रॉई. व्हेन दे डोंट पे ऑन द ड्यू डेट, व्हेन दे आर रिक्वायर्ड टू पे दे डू नॉट पे, दैट मीन्स द बिल इज डिफॉल्टेड, the payment has been defaulted and the bill is treated as dishonored. So there can be dishonor by non-acceptance or dishonor by non-payment. Now what do you do when there is a dishonor? The bill is not paid or the bill has not been accepted. So what should the payee do? Sirf ghar mein baith ke rote rahega? No, he has some line of action. He has some remedy. He can issue a notice of dishonor. These people have not paid. I demanded payment but I did not get the payment. This fellow was supposed to accept his liability. Usne sign hi nahi kiya acceptance. So he issues a notice. The notice of dishonor may be given to a duly authorized agent of the person to whom it is required to be given, or to his legal representative in case of his death, or to the assignee in case of insolvency. There is a dishonor. Dishonor is either due to non-acceptance or non-payment, and when there is such a dishonor, the holder who was supposed to get the payment, he gives a notice to all these people. You were supposed to pay to me but you did not pay. So this is a notice of dishonor. Why did you not pay? And on what date I demanded payment? On that day you did not pay. It may be oral or written. It may, if written, be sent by post. But the notice has to be sent to the previous parties. If there are four parties to a bill, all the people will get the notice from the person who did not receive the payment. It may be in any form. There is no prescribed format for the notice of dishonor. But it must inform the party to whom it is given, either in express terms or by reasonable intendment, that the instrument has been dishonored and in what way, and that he will be held liable thereon. So in that format, notice of dishonor, there is no prescribed format, but in that letter he has to mention that instrument number so and so, bill number so and so, or check number so and so, this was dishonored, this was not paid, and why it was not paid if there is a reason available, and in what way it was dishonored. Why it was dishonored, it what way it was dishonored means by non-acceptance or by non-payment. And that because you did not pay, I am holding you, Mr. B, as liable for this and for all the consequences, for the damages and other expenses that I may incur. It must be given within a reasonable time after dishonor. The bill is dishonored today. You cannot issue a notice of dishonor after 10 months or even after 1 month. You cannot do it even after 1 week. In fact, you have to do it on the same day or on the next day. And the notice has to be given at the place of business or at the residence of the party for whom it is intended. You want to send the notice of dishonor to the drawee. You have to send it to his place where he normally resides or where he is normally carrying on his business activity. If the notice is duly directed and sent by post and miscarries, the postal authorities lose it. It is lost in transit. Even then, it is treated as though the notice is served. So, such miscarriage will not render the notice invalid. The notice has been served and law accepts that you had issued a notice, it got lost in transit, that is okay. But you have issued it because we'll be keeping a copy with us. So we can show that I did send it by post. This is the registration number. I have got the receipt, postal authority receipt, because I sent it by registered post. Usko mila nahi hai, ye mera dosh nahi hai. Now when this notice is not necessary, you have to issue a notice of dishonor, but certain occasions it is not required. When it is not required, when it is dispensed with by the parties. अमंग द पार्टीज दे म्यूचुअली एग्री, देखो पेमेंट नहीं हुआ तो भी तुम कोई नोटिस वोटिस मत देना, मैं मानता हूँ पेमेंट नहीं हुआ ठीक है, हम बाद में निपटा लेंगे, अगले सौदे में अगले बिजनेस ट्रांजैक्शन में इसका सेटल करा लेंगे, सो देर इज नो नीड टू गिव अ नोटिस ऑफ डिसऑनर इन ऑर्डर टू चार्ज द ड्रॉअर व्हेन ही हैज काउंटरमैंडेड पेमेंट. द ड्रॉअर हैज स्टॉप द पेमेंट, ही हैज गिवन इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू द ड्रॉई नॉट टू मेक द पेमेंट. इन दैट केस यू नीड नॉट गिव अ नोटिस ऑफ डिसऑनर बिकॉज द ड्रॉअर नोस and he has given the instruction don't pay, so there is no need to issue a notice of dishonor when the party charged could not suffer damage for want of notice. If there is no damage, no loss, there is no question of compensation. In that case you need not issue a notice. When the party entitled to notice cannot after due search be found, addressee not known, aap notice dena chahte hain par wo aadmi to gayab hai, he is absconding, तो किसको नोटिस भेजोगे, सो देर इज नो नीड टू सेंड अ नोटिस. सी टू चार्ज द ड्रॉअर्स व्हेन द एक्सेप्टर इज ऑल्सो अ ड्रॉअर, इफ द ड्रॉअर एंड एक्सेप्टर आर सेम देर इज नो नीड टू इश्यू अ नोटिस ऑफ डिसऑनर बिकॉज द एक्सेप्टर इज द वन हु इज लायबल टू पे. इफ द एक्सेप्टर डजंट पे द ड्रॉअर हैज टू पे, बट द ड्रॉअर एंड एक्सेप्टर आर बोथ सेम पीपल, सो एक्सेप्टर ने पे नहीं किया तो इट इज ऑब्वियस द ड्रॉअर नोज कि अरे मैंने तो पैसे नहीं दिए. So where is the question of giving a notice to the person who knows that he has not paid? In the case of a promissory note which is not negotiable, so where a promissory note is not negotiable, it is a restricted one, there is no need to issue a notice of dishonor because the maker of the promissory note is the one who has to pay and he has defaulted, there is no need to give a notice to the defaulter himself. When the party entitled to notice knowing the facts promise unconditionally to pay the amount due on the instrument, the drawee has to pay the amount on the due date. Due date aa gaya, nikal gaya, aur din guzar gaye, par usne payment nahi kiya, defaulter ban gaya. Now you need not serve a notice to him if he agrees ki theek hai maine payment nahi diya na, 10 tarikh ko dena tha, nahi diya, theek hai main 15 tarikh tak de dunga ya 20 tarikh ko de dunga ya apne agle saude mein isko nipta lenge, we'll adjust it in the next business transaction. You have to pay me 10,000 rupees, I have to give you 8,000 rupees, so hum isme aapas mein nipta lenge. In that case also there is no need to give a notice of dishonor. The bill was presented for payment, the bill was presented for acceptance, it was not accepted, it was not paid on the due date, and you have issued a notice of dishonor, but iske aage kya? You have issued a notice of dishonor, maybe that notice is come back, addressee not known, or maybe address changed, whatever, or you have not served it at the place where he wanted it to be served. Now what remedy does the holder have? Usko paisa milna tha, nahi mila, so the payee, the beneficiary has to get some other remedy. He can go to the notary public and get this bill, the dishonor, made public. So what he does, he goes to the notary public and tells ki sahab iska payment nahi mila mujhe. So the notary who is like a judge will send the bill once again to the party asking for payment or acceptance. If that person agrees to and he makes the payment, well and good, isko paisa mil jayega. But if he doesn't pay on the due date, even after the notary represents the bill, then the notary will write payment refused or payment not forthcoming, and then he will issue a certificate. So when a promissory note or bill of exchange has been dishonored by non acceptance or non payment, the holder may cause such dishonor to be noted by the notary public upon the instrument or upon a paper attached to the instrument. So normally us pe kagaz chipka denge aur dono taraf yahan se shuru karke wo kagaz ke upar jayega, this bill was not honored, it was dishonored on so and so date. Such note must be made within a reasonable time after the dishonor and must specify the date of dishonor, the reason for dishonor, and if the instrument has not been expressly dishonored, the reason why the holder is treating it as dishonored. So all these things will be mentioned on the piece of paper attached to the bill, and he will also write these are my charges, so the notary charges, all these things will appear. And this is known as noting of the bill for dishonor. When a promissory note or bill of exchange has been dishonored by non-acceptance or non-payment, the holder may, within a reasonable time, cause such dishonor to be noted and certified. Simple noting नहीं, उसके आगे जाके हम बोलते हैं कि मुझे एक certificate भी दे दो कि this bill was dishonored. Now, when the notary public gives a certificate, that certificate is known as the protest. And this dishonor to be noted and certified by the notary public, such certificate is called the protest. Protest is a document, is a legal document, a piece of paper which says that so and so bill was dishonored on so and so date and this was the reason for dishonor and I am issuing a certificate to this effect. See, we have seen that a protest is a certificate for dishonor, either by non-acceptance or by non-payment. But suppose in a bill of exchange or a promissory note, the drawee, you know in advance that this fellow is going to become insolvent or there's some problem coming up with him, and then you want that simply his acceptance is not enough, I want some additional security. Additional fallback arrangement. Then you ask for better security and that is also not available. Then you say it is protest for better security. So see, when the acceptor of a bill of exchange has become insolvent or his credit has been publicly impeached before the maturity of the bill, before the due date, the holder may, within a reasonable time, cause a notary public to demand better security of the acceptor. And on its being refused, you ask for a better security, you ask for some extra fallback arrangement, but that doesn't happen. That is also refused. Then, within a reasonable time, you get these facts to be noted and certified. Then, this certificate is a protest for better security. Normal protest and protest for better security, itna hi farak hai. Normal protest, there is only a drawee who has not accepted or a person who had to pay has not paid. In this case, you wanted better security and you did not get that also. Now, what is the reasonable time for presenting for acceptance or for payment? In determining what is the reasonable time for presentment for acceptance or payment, for giving notice of dishonor and for noting, regard shall be had to the nature of the instrument and the usual course of dealing with respect to similar instruments. And in calculating such time, public holidays will be excluded. See, the law doesn't specifically say what is a reasonable time. Time for presenting the instrument for acceptance, time for presenting the instrument for payment, time for serving notice of dishonor, time for getting the noting done, time for getting the protest certificate issued. In all these things, the law only says you should do it within a reasonable time. Now, what is reasonable time? They say will depend on the instrument itself. It will depend on the nature of transactions between the parties and what is the practice established in that place. For all these things. And when you are calculating, suppose it says you should do acceptance within 48 hours. Now, 48 hours will not include the Sunday or public holiday falling in between. Suppose I submit a bill to my client on a Friday and ask him to accept it. Saturday and Sunday are non-working days in that city. It's only a 5-day week in that place, in that city, in that state. Then the person will have Friday and Monday for acceptance. Saturday, Sunday are excluded. So the public holidays will always be excluded. If a national holiday comes, 2nd October, 26th January, they will be excluded. Or any other public holiday. That is why for this reason precisely the government has to declare public holidays. And they declare these holidays under the Negotiable Instrument Act. So they will mention, you know, public holidays as per Negotiable Instrument Act. And they will differ from state to state, depending on the local customs. Now we come to section 108. This deals with acceptance for honor. See, a bill is drawn on a particular person asking him to make payment to someone else. Before he makes the payment, he is supposed to accept the liability. So he says, okay, I accept. He has to write accepted and sign below. But suppose he refuses. He says, no, no, I am not going to accept this liability. मैं कोई पेमेंट वेमेंट नहीं करूंगा, जो पेमेंट करना है तुम खुद करते बैठो. नाउ दिस ड्रॉअर ऑफ द बिल इज इन अ फिक्स. ही ड्रू द बिल ऑन समबडी, दैट पर्सन रिफ्यूजेस टू एक्सेप्ट. नाउ ही विल गो एंड कैच होल्ड ऑफ समबडी एल्स. एदर ही हैज टू पे और ही विल कैच होल्ड ऑफ समबडी एल्स. ही हैज गॉट सो मेनी क्लाइंट्स. ही टेल्स समबडी एल्स, भैया तुम एक्सेप्ट करो. मिस्टर बी हैज रिफ्यूज्ड, नाउ यू प्लीज एक्सेप्ट. Now that fellow has dealings, business dealings with the maker of the bill, the drawer of the bill. He agrees. Why he agrees? Because he wants to protect the reputation of the maker of the bill. That person could be a relative, could be a business partner, could be father, son or brother or another partner in another firm. He agrees. Now he is agreeing to accept the liability because he wants to protect the reputation, the honor of the person who has made the bill. So this person is known as acceptor for honor, and the acceptance is known as acceptance for honor. When a bill of exchange has been noted or protested for non-acceptance or for better security, any person not being a party already liable thereon, means one who is not already connected with that instrument, he is a total outsider. He comes and agrees with the consent of the holder by writing on the bill, accept the same for the honor of any party thereto. So he may be accepting either for the honor of the drawer of the bill or for any other previous endorser. He agrees to accept the liability. He becomes an acceptor for honor, and that acceptance is known as acceptance for honor. Now, what is his liability? The person who has accepted for honor, the acceptor for honor, his liability. Let us look into it. An acceptor for honor binds himself to all the parties subsequent to the party to whose honor he has accepted. Suppose the acceptor for honor has accepted on behalf of endorser number 2. Endorser number 2 comes and requests, ki, please accept. He has agreed. Then he becomes liable to all the parties after endorser number 2. So he is binding himself to all the parties subsequent to the party on whose honor he has accepted. And such party and all prior parties are liable in their respective capacity to compensate the acceptor for honor. He is answerable, he is liable to all parties after that endorser on whose behalf he accepted. The people before him, they are all now liable to this acceptor for honor. He is liable to all subsequent parties, and the previous parties are all liable to him. But an acceptor for honor is not liable to the holder of the bill unless it is presented. So if the bill is presented, only then the acceptor for honor, his role comes into play, and his liability gets crystallized. In case the address given by such acceptor on the bill is a place other than the place where the bill is made payable, forwarded for presentment not later than the day next after the day of its maturity. Jis din bill due ho gaya, us din ya uske agle din, yadi bill present hua, then the acceptor for honor, his liability comes into picture. Otherwise, he is not liable. Where there is a drawee in case of need, the bill mentions that Mr. B is the drawee, but in case Mr. B doesn't pay or doesn't agree, he does not pay, then please take recourse to Mr. X. So Mr. X is the drawee in case of need. If there is a drawee in case of need, is mentioned in the bill of exchange, his name appears, or in any endorsement thereon, the bill is not dishonored until it has been dishonored by the drawee in case of need. So you will not treat the bill as dishonored unless and until the original drawee does not pay and the drawee in case of need also does not pay. So if the drawee in case of need is not making the payment, in that case the bill is treated as dishonored. Otherwise it is not treated as dishonored. Now see, when the bill is not paid, when it is dishonored either by the drawee or an acceptor or by the drawer, then the payee who was supposed to get the payment is not getting the payment. He is subject to certain losses. Now he can claim damages, he can claim compensation. So the rules regarding compensation are that the holder is entitled to the amount due upon the instrument together with the expenses properly incurred in presenting, noting and protesting. So he is entitled to demand payment of the bill, whatever interest amount is there plus whatever expenses he incurs. Expenses should be reasonable and properly incurred. Whatever is there, he will entitled to ask for those amounts. When the person charged resides at a place different from that at which the instrument was payable, the holder is entitled to receive such sum at the current rate of exchange between the two places. See, the bill is payable at a foreign country. It is dishonored. Now he is claiming damages, he is claiming compensation. Maybe after 1 month or 2 months, he will ask for the payment as per today's rate of exchange, not the due date rate of exchange. Whatever is the rate of exchange today, if it has gone up, he is entitled to more amount. And he can claim the expenses also accordingly, whatever he has actually incurred. If the endorser, who being liable has paid the amount due on the same, is entitled to the amount so paid with interest at 18% per annum from the date of payment till the date of realization. The endorser who is liable, he has paid the amount. Now he is entitled to get the amount from his previous endorser. He is entitled to the payment of the bill plus interest at 18%, or if there is a particular interest mentioned, then that rate of interest. If there is no rate mentioned, it is 18%. If there is a rate mentioned, then that rate. This interest is payable from the date of payment, the payment he made, till he gets reimbursed. So from the date of payment until the date of realization, together with all the expenses that he has incurred. This is what the endorser will get. Now the endorser has already paid to the endorsee. He has to recover from his previous endorsers or the drawee or the drawer. He will get the payment of the bill amount plus the interest, if the interest rate is mentioned, that rate, or otherwise 18%. And that payment interest will be from the date he made the payment till the date he is reimbursed. When the person charged and such endorser reside at different places, the endorser is entitled to receive such sum at the current rate of exchange. Here again, if they are in two different countries, the payment will be as per the current exchange rate. The party entitled to compensation may draw a bill upon the party. See, I am supposed to get, say, payment of 5 lakhs rupees plus expenses, say 42,000. So I have to get 5,42,000. When I have to get this amount from my previous endorser or from the drawee, I will draw a bill on that person and say, please pay the sum of rupees 5,42,000 on or before so and so date. So I can draw a bill for this compensation amount and present it to him for the amount due to him together with all the expenses incurred by him. Such bill must be accompanied by the instrument which is dishonored, the original bill which was dishonored. I have drawn a bill for this amount now which I have to get, the original bill amount plus the compensation, damages, losses, expenses. So I prepare a bill for 5,42,000. The original bill is for 5 lakhs. So I will send this bill along with the original bill which was dishonored. And the protest, if I have suppose got the protest also, I will send the copy of the protest also along with the bill and the original bill. and the party dishonoring the same is liable to make compensation thereof in the same manner as the case of the original will. Now, I have prepared a bill for a fresh amount, but this bill is based on the original bill which was dishonored. So, I am going to send this bill plus the original bill and the protest if there is any, and all this, this bill will be treated on par as though this is the original bill and I am supposed to get the payment in the same manner as the original bill was supposed to be paid. Now, when a negotiable instrument is issued, there are certain presumptions. The Act provides for these presumptions. It is taken for granted that these things have existed. The definition of the negotiable instrument, the bill of exchange or promissory note or check, says that it is for a particular sum of money. When money is involved, it is presumed that there was a business transaction, or it is presumed that there was exchange of money. I have given loan and he is supposed to repay that loan, or I have sold certain goods, I have to get payment for that. So, there are certain presumptions. Now, what are these presumptions? Until the contrary is proved, the following are the presumptions which are to be held true. First, there is consideration, the presumption of consideration, that every negotiable instrument was made or drawn for a consideration, and that every such instrument, when it has been accepted, endorsed, negotiated or transferred, was done for consideration. The original bill is issued for consideration. Subsequent acceptance, negotiation, endorsement, they are all for consideration. So, there is no question of no consideration, just of free volition, marzi mein aage bill bana diya, ye galat hai. It is done for consideration. Second presumption is regarding the date, that every negotiable instrument bearing a date was made or drawn on that date. I prepare a bill today with today's date, it is presumed that it is prepared today. Even if I put a date 10 days before, somebody who looks at that instrument will presume that it was prepared 10 days before. So, the date appearing on the instrument is the date it is presumed to be made. Regarding acceptance, that every bill of exchange was accepted within a reasonable time after its due date, but before the after the date of the instrument, but before the maturity date. The drawee has accepted, he has not put any date. It is presumed that it was accepted within the period prescribed, that means after the date but before the maturity date. Regarding the time of transfer, every transfer of a negotiable instrument was done before the maturity date. Whatever endorsements are there, that they have been done, these endorsements have been done before the due date, before the maturity date. As to the order of the endorsements, if there are 5 endorsements appearing on the instrument, then these endorsements are appearing in the same sequence as they appear, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in the same order. So, the endorsements appearing upon the negotiable instrument were made in the order in which they appear, aage piche nahi, in the same order. This is the presumption. This is anybody with a reasonable frame of mind, with normal common sense, normal prudence will presume, aise endorsement hai, to isi order mein endorsements bane gaye hain. As to the stance, the next presumption is that suppose a promissory note or bill of exchange is lost, we presume that it was properly stamped. We are not going to presume anything negative. What we presume is that it was properly stamped and it was properly prepared. So, there was no question of wrong stamp or less inadequate stamp. It is again presumed that a holder is a holder in due course. Any person who is holding the instrument, he is in possession of it, he is entitled to get the payment, is a holder in due course. That means he has got the instrument in good faith, without negligence, without any knowledge of any defective title. So, he is a holder in due course. That the holder of a negotiable instrument is a holder in due course, provided that where the instrument has been contained from its lawful owner or from any person in lawful custody thereof by means of an offence of fraud or for unlawful consideration, the burden of proving that the holder is a holder in due course lies upon him. If a holder is taken it by unlawful means, he has to prove that he is a holder in due course. Then we are not going to presume that he is not a mere holder, but he is a holder in due course. If I come to know that this particular bill of exchange was stolen from me, it is the same bill of exchange, then I will not presume that holder to be holder in due course. If he says, no, no, I am a holder in due course, then he has to prove that he is a holder in due course. In all other cases, we presume that a holder means he is a holder in due course. Now, there are rules regarding estoppels, that a person cannot claim anything other than this. He stopped from claiming such things. This is the opposite of presumptions. Here, no maker of a promissory note and no drawer of a bill of exchange and no acceptor of a bill of exchange for the honor of the drawer shall, on proof of the protest, presume the fact of dishonor, unless and until validity of the instrument is originally made or drawn. See, no maker of a promissory note or a drawer or acceptor for honor, when the protest is given, they are stopped from presuming the fact of dishonor. They cannot say, no, there was no dishonor. Dishonor hua hai, tabhi to protest bhi hai. So, they are stopped from claiming such positions. They cannot say that this instrument is invalid. They are stopped from claiming that the instrument was not properly drawn or it was not valid. They cannot claim such a wrong statement. No maker or a promissory note and no acceptor of a bill of exchange or check or a bill of exchange payable to order shall, in suit thereon by a holder in due course, be permitted to deny that the payee's capacity at the rate or the note or bill to endorse the same. They cannot say that this payee was not capable of endorsing. They cannot say that this payee is not entitled to get the payment, because the Act says that if there is a payee who is holding the instrument, he is entitled to get the payment. If there is an endorsement, he is entitled to make that endorsement. So, these people, they are stopped from claiming such wrong statements. They cannot deny the payee's capacity. They cannot deny the rate of the interest. They cannot deny the validity of the promissory note or the bill of exchange. They cannot deny the endorsements. No endorser of a negotiable instrument shall, in a suit thereon by a subsequent holder, be permitted to deny the signature of capacity of to contract of any prior party. Once the negotiable instrument has been issued, it has been endorsed, it has been dishonored, and there is a suit filed, these people cannot now deny the signature or the capacity of the person who are prior parties. The person who has filed the suit, the people before him, the maker or the acceptor, these people cannot deny the capacity of that person. So, these are certain clauses incorporated in the Act which takes care of unwanted disputes, which takes care of certain provisions whereby the interest of the payee is protected, interest of the endorsee is protected, interest of the holder in due course is protected. Where a check bears across its face an addition of the words and company or any abbreviation and co between two parallel transverse lines or of two parallel transverse lines either with or without the words not negotiable, this addition means it is a crossing, and that crossing the check is deemed to be crossed generally. So, this is a general crossing. Any check, we are talking only about checks. Checks are crossed. Promissory note or bill of exchange is not crossed. So, there is a general crossing and a special crossing. So, if a check has got two parallel lines, usually it will be slanted lines at the top left hand corner. If these two lines are there with or without the words and co and company not negotiable, they are normal general crossings. There can be a special crossing also if the check bears across its face an addition of the name of a bank, two lines and in between name of a bank, either with or without the words not negotiable, that addition shall be deemed a crossing and that check is deemed to be crossed specially. It is crossed to that particular bank. So, it is crossed only to that bank will be entitled to get the payment, to collect the payment. So we have general crossing and special crossing, and these crossings will appear only on checks. They do not appear on promissory notes or other bill of exchange. Bills of exchange can be drawn in parts, can be drawn in sets. We have bill of exchange where they could be accompanied by certain documents. So they are bills of exchange with documents. They are known as documentary bill of exchange, and they can be in parts, part A, part B, part C. They can be in sets, set 1, set 2, set 3. Bills of exchange may be drawn in parts, each part being numbered and containing the provision that it shall be payable only so long as the others remain unpaid. The first of exchange, the second of exchange, the third of exchange. So we prepare in parts, and first part will be paid only if second and third are not paid. If second is being paid, first and third will not be paid. So the condition is that one will be paid only when others are not paid. You don't have to make payment of each. Then there will be three different bills, but here we are talking of bills in triplicate set. So only one of them is payable and the others will be unpaid. All the parts together make one set. There are three parts to the bill, each will be identical, and all the three together is one set. But the whole set constitutes only one bill. Although there are three parts in one set, they are not three different bills, they are only one single bill, and is extinguished when one of the parts, if a separate bill, will be extinguished. Any one bill is paid, the entire set is treated to be paid. Exception: when a person accepts or endorses different parts of the bill in favor of different persons, he and the subsequent endorsers of each part are liable on such part as if it was a separate bill. See, normally bills are prepared in parts, in sets, only where foreign transactions are involved, import and export. I buy certain things from a foreign supplier, a bill is issued by him, he will keep one copy, he will send one copy to me, he will send one copy to my banker. I have to make payment to my banker as per the bill given to them, and then the goods will be released to me. And this bill will be accompanied by the shipping document, an insurance policy, the invoice, all these things will come. So there will be three sets: one he keeps with himself, one he sends to my bank, one he sends to me directly. I go to the bank, make payment as per the bill, and the bill bank will release the documents to me. They will endorse and say, please deliver the goods to so and so party. Then I go to the shipping company, get the consignment released, and then I can get the goods. But I have to make payment to the bank. Bank will send the money to the importer, to the exporter at the foreign country. So that is why three different sets are required. Maybe one set is even kept with the shipping company. They will be required. So there will be three or four sets, three, four parts to one set. And only one amount is to be required to be paid. When one part is paid, it is presumed that all the parts are paid. But suppose a bill is prepared in three parts and there are three different people who are accepting the liability, then each will be treated as separate bill, because that person is accepting only his portion. There are three drawings. The bill amount is 6 lakhs. Each one is going to accept 2 lakhs, then three drawings. To that extent, each bill will be treated as meant for 2 lakhs, and only that bill is paid. It is not the entire set which is paid. Now, what happens when a check is dishonored due to insufficiency? A check can be dishonored due to various reasons. The bank may not pay the check, because in the case of a check, the drawee is the bank. The bank does not pay the check when there are valid reasons. The customer is maintaining balance in his account, but still the check can be returned when the date is wrong or there is no date mentioned. The bill check has become stale, or it is a post-dated check, or a garnishee order is issued, or some income tax authorities have brought a stay order, court has given a freeze order, or the customer has issued stop payment instructions, whatever reason, you know, we can stop the payment of the check. We need not pay the check, we can return it unpaid. Now, these are all valid reasons, but there are situations where the customer has issued the check to some party, that check comes for payment and there is no balance in his account, no sufficient funds. If the check is being returned for this reason, dishonor is due to insufficiency of the funds, in that case the situation is different. Where the bank is returning the check due to various other reasons, signature differs or check is mutilated, or as I told you the other reasons, the position is different. But where the customer is issuing a check without maintaining sufficient balance in his account, he becomes a criminal offender. The act says that he has done a criminal act by issuing a check without maintaining balance in the account. His intention is to defraud or cheat the other party. So, for that cheating, he is going to be held responsible as a criminal. So, this section 138 has been added subsequently into the Negotiable Instrument Act. See, this act, I said, is 130 years old. It was enacted in 1881. But this particular section has been added very recently, 10 years back in 2002. And this section 138 says that where any check drawn by a person on an account maintained by him with a banker for payment of any amount of money to another person from out of that account for the discharge in whole or in part of any debt or other liability is returned by the bank unpaid. It is returned unpaid because he is not maintaining sufficient balance in the account. In that case, because the money standing to the credit of that account is insufficient, or he has not arranged for that much amount, he has got a regular overdraft facility and he has not made arrangement, the arrangement is already exhausted, in that case such person is deemed to have committed an offence and he shall, without prejudice to any other provision of this act, be punished with imprisonment. When he issues a check without maintaining sufficient balance or without making arrangement for the funds, he has committed an offence. That offence is treated as a criminal offence and for that he can be punished up to 2 years or with a fine which may extend to double the amount of the check or both. Imprisonment plus fine or only imprisonment or only fine. Either way. It is a criminal offence. Section 138 says that issuing a check without maintaining balance, without arranging for the funds is a criminal offence. It can be punished with imprisonment up to 2 years or payment of fine up to double the amount of the check, or it may be both, imprisonment plus fine. Now, what is the defence available to the party who has received this check? He had to get the amount, but he is not getting that amount. The precaution he has to take is that the check has been presented to the bank within a period of 6 months from the date on which it is drawn. You are presenting it during the tenure of the check. If it is 3 months validity, then you should present it within 3 months. Otherwise, 6 months is the validity period of a check. You present it within 6 months. You don't present it after it has become stale or within the period of its validity, whichever is earlier. The payee or the holder in due course of the check, as the case may be, makes a demand for the payment of the said amount of money by giving the notice. See, the payee has got the check in his name. He sent the check to the drawer's bank for collection. The check comes back. It bounces back. Now, he has not got the payment. After this, he has to again present the check within 1 month. Within 30 days, it is not calendar month, it is 30 days. He has to present the check once again. He has to give a notice to that person and say, ki dekho, aapne jo check issue kiya mujhe, wo bounce ho gaya. So, I am giving you a notice of 30 days. So, he has to issue a notice, give a notice of 30 days and after that 30 days period, he will present the check once again and within 15 days if it is not paid, it comes back to him. He has now recourse to the court. He can approach the court. So the drawer of such check fails to make the payment of the said amount or to the holder in due course, the check within 15 days of the receipt of the said notice. Notice is issued after the check bounces back. That notice period is for a period of 30 days. And after that 30 days, he will present the check once again. This fellow is given another 15 days time to make the payment. If he makes the payment, well and good. The payee gets the amount. But if he does not make the payment within 15 days, it is presumed that the holder of a check received the check as discharge towards a debt or other liability. And then the person, the payee or the holder in due course can file a case against the drawer of the check. And it is presumed that he had a debt to be cleared and that debt is not cleared. All cases under this offence will be tried summarily by the court. So he will file a complaint to the first class magistrate or the metropolitan judge, and that person will try the case and the punishment will be awarded as per the procedure. So the person who is going to get the relief, the payee, the holder in due course, has to claim the amount. When he does not get, he will go to the magistrate and claim, and the magistrate will give the decision. Now, this is the entire gist of the Negotiable Instrument Act. Certain sections which I felt were not so important, I have left out, but they are covered in the book. You can go through them, and this takes care of the entire Negotiable Instrument Act, where money dealings are involved, where financial dealings are involved, and that is why this act covers even money lenders, it covers the post office savings accounts, and it covers all the banks, whether private banks or nationalized banks, state banks, cooperative banks. All the banks are governed by this Negotiable Instrument Act. Okay, friends, thank you.